Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR1, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum, and on today's show, we have Dr. Feng Chuan Liu. He's the project manager, and we have Dr. Yuko Kakazu, education and outreach manager for the 30-meter International Telescope. And of course, they're here to give us the latest updates on the project. Feng Chuan and Yuko, I want to welcome you to Bite Marks Cafe.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, it's great to have you both. And, you know, it's been a while since we've actually talked astronomy, and I'm trying to recollect whether I've actually had somebody from the TMT team on the show, but I'm glad to have you both on. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's an honor to kind of catch up, like what's the latest happenings with the 30-meter telescope. Now, you know, over the course of time, there's been this sort of a blank spot in all of our lives that took place during the COVID pandemic. And so there was a lot of activity, you know, about the 30-meter telescope kind of prior to the pandemic. And then during those years between, I'd say, you know, like 2020 and well into 2022, 23, it was pretty isolating. Pretty, you know, everybody was kind of converting into either a virtual or very online kind of interaction. I want to get your kind of recollection of, you know, what took place from a TMT perspective during that period, and how have you started to come out of that? Now we're into 2025. You know, how has the new initiatives, I guess, taken place as we emerge from that pandemic period? So start with kind of what was it like during the pandemic, and how did you emerge from that? And we'll go with Feng Chuan. You wanna start that?
Yeah, I will start it. I think pandemic slowed everything down. Mm-hmm. It really gave us a chance to reflect and to think through what went wrong from our point of view and what mistake we made. And so I took over, also at the time I took over the project as a project manager in January 2021, officially, and I immediately moved to Hilo. So I've been here for about 4 years, living and working in Hilo, Hawaii. We have a new team, and Yuko is leading our education outreach effort. And so we have been proactive. One of the approach we made from the very early on is we want to proactively reach out to the people who protested us, and we want to hear from them what we did wrong, mm-hmm. what is the criticism. And so far, we've talked to over 800 PI, 800 people who protested us. In small, quiet conversation in safe space, I would say every conversation is very respectful, and we learn a lot from this criticism. In fact, we change our behavior from what we learned. And I think it's been tremendous learning experience. And we have been able to, based on this conversation, we've been able to work with the community on programs that truly the community care about and benefit the community. I would leave that to Yuko to describe some of the details.
Well, you know, I and Yuko, I do want to talk a little bit about how you've kind of done more education and outreach. But Feng Chuan, you know, before you were, I guess, earlier, before you became project manager, you were sort of the deputy project manager. You've been with TMT for how many years now? About six?
I've just getting close to 10 years.
Oh, 10 years.
Before that, I spent 10 years. Before that, I spent 20 years working for NASA Jet Propulsion Lab.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When I signed up with TMT in 2015, late 2015, my job was to manage the science, engineering, technology development. I had no relationship to Hawaii, essentially. I worked mostly in California.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only until January 2021, I became acting project manager, then project manager, that I started deeply involved in Hawaii and learning and working from Hawaii.
Okay. So this is something that's not, it's not new to you. I mean, you've been doing this for actually quite a while. So you're pretty familiar with, you know, the environment and the, I guess, the situation that arose, you know, pre-pandemic. And Yuko, when did you come on board with TMT?
Sure. I joined TMT in June 2021, so almost 4 years ago when Feng Chuan moved to Hilo, Hawaii. And previously, I was working for the Japanese Subaru Telescope in Hawaii. And I actually went to UH, University of Hawaii, for my studies. So I lived in Hawaii for almost 18 years, but I joined TMT 4 years ago. And it was during the pandemic, as Feng Chuan said, it's true that the pandemic gave us an opportunity to pause and reflect on our past, in particular the protest, and seek a new approach. And so when Feng Chuan moved from California to Hilo, he formed a new community engagement team in Hilo, and I joined. And the first thing we did was to ask schools, local schools, how we can assist, because schools were opening up. You know, during the pandemic, it was closed. Right. Everything was done online. And one day I saw an article on Hawaii Tribune Herald, the local newspaper article, saying that 1,000 students on the Hawaii island couldn't make it to the next grade level. It's alarming. So I talked to my friends and principal teachers, local schools, and they told me, Yuko, we really need tutors who can come and teach our students one-on-one. So we started going to local schools every Wednesday afternoon to provide one-on-one in-person tutoring. And it's been an eye-opening experience for us. It was amazing to see these students, how quickly they actually thrive. They were struggling at schools, and these are the students who fail multiple classes. But after several months of tutoring, they thrived, and they were getting A and B at school, and they were no longer eligible for this tutoring program. But this is one of the programs that was requested by our community. So we co-designed, co-developed over 20 education outreach and workforce programs together with our local communities. And so we are very happy that we were able to create programs that are community-driven and aligned for local communities' needs and aspirations.
Well, that's great. And I do want to give you a chance of Yuko, to tell us a little bit about the resources that you were able to tap, because we never got a chance to talk about how many people work at TMT here in Hawaii. So I'm sure that there are others in the, you know, astronomy community that you might have tapped. So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back after this short break to continue our conversation with Dr. Feng Chuan Liu. He's the project manager, and Dr. Yuko Kakazu, education and outreach manager from the 30-meter International Telescope. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors Ulupono Initiative and Ruby Tuesday Hawaii.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. I'm Bert Lam. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Dr. Feng Chuan Liu, project manager, and Dr. Yuko Kakazu, education and outreach manager from the 30-meter International Telescope. And right before the break, Yuko, you were telling me about some of the recognized needs in the community, you know, kind of coming out of the pandemic and the need for more kind of one-on-one education for the kids. And where were you able to tap into some of those resources, given the fact that I'm sure they were not all like TMT employees, right? So it's probably coming from the astronomy community at large.
Yes. So we work together with Mauna Kea Observatory. Mm-hmm. So we also asked our colleagues at Subaru Telescope and Gemini Observatory. So, you know, it became our team effort, Mauna Kea Telescope, you know, effort, community efforts. And it's not just us. But we also started working with Hawaii County for another project. It's a culture exchange program between Hawaii County and our international partners like Japan and Canada. So TMT is an international project with Japan, Canada, India, and mainland U.S. And each partner country has their own indigenous and traditional cultures. So we started this Alila Loa Indigenous Culture Exchange Program together with Hawaii County. So 2 years ago, we took students to Okinawa, Japan, where I'm from. And last year, we took Hawaii Island high school students to First Nations in Canada. So we have a variety of programs that goes beyond STEM. So it's more culture learned programs as well as environment protection and conservation programs. And everything is led by our community members.
Well, that's great. And, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, I had some folks from the Pisces program on the show. It sounds like maybe you've probably worked with them as well.
Of course. We work closely with Amber. And
yeah, right.
Yes, and in fact, she is PI for one of our programs. It's Ohana Stargazing, and we work very closely with her nonprofit organization, Ohana Kilohoku, a nonprofit Native Hawaiian organization. Yeah.
Well, somebody's programs that you're describing, it makes me wish I was living in Hilo so I could maybe participate in it. Anyway, so these are great. And Feng Chuan, you know, you were saying that you were able to, over the course of these past several years, reach out and actually have these sort of one-on-one in more quiet settings with 800, you know, protesters. I mean, I think that's quite an achievement. What would you say is the thing that helped perhaps change a little bit about the public sentiment, and how did perceptions start to shift?
Yeah, so this is a good question. We have a Hawaiian friend, and we have also on our team, we have a team member who is Native Hawaiian and is here, Keoki Kai, who has done a really fantastic job introducing us to the community. A lot of these conversations start very, very hard, particularly early on 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And people really didn't want to talk to us. They think we're the bad guys. But once we really, when I really go through listening very carefully, very respectfully to their criticism, and over time we start building some kind of trust and relationship, and we can have a very respectful discussion. A lot of the same people we've talked over and over, probably over a dozen, and there are some cases over 20 times. And we become friends over time.
Mm-hmm.
In all of these conversations, we never ask them, what does it take for you to support the project? In fact, a lot of them, I don't even know where they stand. But
mm-hmm.
we talk about the history. We talk about the mistake TMT made before and how we can work together for a better future and what the community truly care about. And those are the kind of things we do talk about. And it's amazing, I would say, most of the conversation the first time start very hard, and it always ends better, and there's no exception. And the key here is respect.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a mutual respect. Now, Feng Chuan,
absolutely.
When interacting with a lot of the folks that you're now describing, the protests were pretty statewide in terms of the participants that went to the Big Island to actually voice their opinion. Were you able to also reach back out to those leaders that were not necessarily located on the Big Island and have those kinds of conversations with them? They could be on Molokai, they could be, you know, on Oahu, they could be, you know, on Kauai. So were you able to kind of reach out beyond the Big Island?
Yes, we have been to Molokai a few times, mm-hmm. and talked to the Kupunas, and we've been to all the five schools at Molokai, and mm-hmm. We talked to PIE leader on Oahu and Native Hawaiian communities and in Kauai as well. And we've reached as far as Hawaiian people in Las Vegas and Washington, D.C., actually. They're all connected. It all connects back to the Big Island, to Mauna Kea, to the Aina.
Mm-hmm. Now, does your sort of agenda continue to move in the outreach, kind of continue to outreach to all of the communities that are affected? I mean, you've achieved a number, 800. Do you see trying to reach out to more, or what is your kind of objective now? Is it just to kind of continue to foster a stronger relationship with the ones that you've already built a relationship with?
No, well, I think that yes and no. Our objective is a long term. We want to build a good relationship with the community, mm-hmm. with all parts of the community, particularly the Native Hawaiian community in rural areas and underrepresented community, because these are the community, honestly, we did not do a good job reach out before. Mm-hmm. And we didn't respect the community, the history and the culture and the people enough. And so this is the mistake we made, and we are focusing on building long-term trust and relationship, regardless what happens to the telescope.
Mm-hmm. Now, Yuko, you said you graduated from University of Hawaii. Did you get your PhD?
Yes.
From Institute for Astronomy?
Yes. Yes, IFA Institute for Astronomy, yes, many years ago.
And in your outreach activity, do you continue to kind of foster that relationship with IFA?
Of course. We are working with IFA. And in fact, last month, Feng Chuan and I were at IFA for their open house.
Mm-hmm.
So every year,
right,
we
right.
assist their astronomy open house event, and we were talking about workforce development programs as well as teacher workshops. So there are a lot of partnership and collaboration between University of Hawaii as well as Mauna Kea observatories.
Well, so I'm hearing that, you know, the activities that both you, Feng Chuan, and Yuko, you've done quite a bit of work in terms of I think reestablishing the relationship locally. I do want to talk a little bit about how has your efforts been to continue to get the support from the international community? Because again, TMT is not just, you know, U.S. You have other countries that are very much a part of this, and so I wanted to maybe spend a little bit of time better understanding how is that relationship continuing, you know, as we move into 2025 and beyond. So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back at a short break to continue our conversation with Dr. Feng Chuan Liu. He's the project manager, and Dr. Yuko Kakazu, education and outreach manager from the 30-meter International Telescope. This is Bite Marks Cafe. Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum, right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HBR1. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Dr. Feng Chuan Liu, project manager, and Dr. Yuko Kakazu, education and outreach manager from the 30-meter International Telescope. And, you know, right before the break, I wanted to maybe talk a little bit, and Feng Chuan, maybe you can help me understand, you know, you got the International Telescope in the name, and you have strong relationships, obviously, with the international partners. Does that international relationship still remain strong?
I would say it remains strong, and it's getting stronger. We have really strong unwavering support from our international partners, as well as partners like University of California System and Caltech.
Mm-hmm,
and these
mm-hmm.
are very high level, you know, presidents of universities and from University of California System, Caltech, and the Board of Trustees, and the high level people who represent the government of Canada, Japan, and India. And they have all come visited Hawaii, and they, a lot of them have joined us in our community conversations. I would say all of them have. And from this, we're all learning together, and they very strongly support our effort. And they pointed out to us, you know, in Hawaii, we're not just doing astronomy and building telescope. Equally important, perhaps even more important, is to build strong, long-lasting, mutually respectful, mutually benefit relationship with the community. And we do this not just because this is what it takes to do your telescope, but because this is the right thing to do. This is the foundation, having good relationship with community, all part of the community, particularly the Hawaiian community, is the foundation of everything we mm-hmm. do in Hawaii. It's what it makes us to be a good neighbor.
Well, you know, that's good to hear, and it's good that the relationships have continued to be strong with those international partners. You know, given the new administration, you know, at the White House, and how some of the relationships have been strained, I would say, with countries like, you know, you got you have Canada, you have China, you have India. I mean, has that had any effect on the relationships at the scientific level that you folks are working with?
Yeah, well, I think among our partners at our level, working level, the relationship remains strong.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we all hear, read from top line news, there are nation to nation level, trade related, whatever relationships that you know, but that so far has not impacted scientific community, our partners from different countries working on this. We continue working very strongly together and towards the common goal.
You know, one of the things that we're all sort of subject to and are living through on a day-to-day basis, and I can speak firsthand of some of the things that have been affecting, you know, my job as a and I, you know, full disclosure, I work at the state, and I'm doing a lot of broadband work. So one of the things that I've noticed is that, you know, there's the effect of the DOGE folks coming in and looking at cutbacks. And I wanted to get you to maybe share a little bit about what your thoughts are, Feng Chuan, on, you know, the kind of impact that some of the cutbacks might have on the National Science Foundation.
Yeah, I would say this is a really clear present concern and challenge and problems, depending where you are. A lot of our, you know, science community, a lot of the grants are being kind of canceled or delayed. Mm-hmm. More importantly, we don't know where the future lies, and there's certainly a lot of anxiety. And just last week, the president issued a funding request, budget request for fiscal year 2026. In that requested budget, National Science Foundation's budget was cut by 56%,
mm-hmm.
and the science part of the NASA budget, which are closely related to us, is also cut by 47%. And other, you know, NOAAs and NIH and all the funding agencies doing science-related activities are all seeing significant cuts. But these, I want to emphasize, in my understanding, these are president's proposed cuts, budget request, and the law says that Congress eventually appropriate the funding. So we're hoping that a lot of these cuts will eventually be recovered or be restored, if it will.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, we certainly do. There's a lot of anxieties, and this is way beyond a project, or it's about the science leadership of the United States, which have benefited this country for so many years, And I remain optimistic because National Science Foundation, NASA, they are charged by the president and by the president's offices to lead this nation in science, in science leadership, in science dominance, in the president's word. And what we are doing is to continue maintaining the United States leadership in science in this area. So because of that, I remain confident eventually we'll get the right level of support from the federal government.
Yeah, I really respect your I guess diligence in staying positive in these sort of turbulent times. You know, the delay it doesn't bode well in terms of science, right? Because science will continue to move forward, and delays will only kind of set you back. And it was kind of concerning when the director of the NSF actually this past April stepped down because he didn't want to be kind of a part of the dismantling. I mean, that must have caused some kind of concern, I guess, with the folks that are looking at getting support from the NSF. And TMT would have been looking at probably close to $1 billion, right, from the National Science Foundation.
Yeah, right. We're seeking for over $1 billion. And clearly, this is the resignation of the NSF director and other news. I mentioned the FY 2023 budget request. All of these together happening in very short period of time clearly raise a lot of uncertainty where the future lies and give us all a lot of anxieties. But that said, as I mentioned, I remain hopeful that we will just have to make a better case. We understand the federal government needs to cut waste and reduce spending, but we cannot lose sight of the fact that we still need to maintain leadership in science. Otherwise, we're giving up our future. And in fact, even now you read the New York Times and say European countries are putting together half a billion dollars to try to hire we of our scientists. And China is trying to hire we our scientists. And if we're not careful, if this kind of delays, interruptions in funding persists to a much longer time, we really will lose the science leadership. That's bad for the country, for the people, for our future. I just have to believe that won't happen.
Well, you know, I do definitely want to have you folks back on and give us updates because, you know, this is a quickly moving and changing environment. So, Feng Chuan, where can we find out more information about TMT?
Well, our website, tmt.org, that's tommarytom.org. You can find information there or ask questions or make suggestions and give us your criticism, all of the above. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Feng Chuan Liu. He's the project manager, and Dr. Yuko Kakazu is the education and education manager from the 30-meter International Telescope. I want to thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
And thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk about the Hawaii Energy Conference. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is David Chong, and you can catch us on HBR One every Friday or anytime via the HBR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe, you stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.